Why did you say the R word?
What? Well, because
record.
Well, you were on your time constraint this week.
I know, I mean, but the constraint starts when we start record. You know, like,
yes, exactly. And now here we are. Now that means you have to hurry your ass up. We've got a big show this week.
It's
so
not big.
That's what she said. Yeah. Anyway, right.
See, this is pre-show talk.
Like, yeah, exactly.
You're still in pre-show mode.
We are in pre-show mode. Oh, man. Oh, shit, Wade, I didn't want you to hit record because I had some things that I wanted to talk about.
Now who's talking shit?
I know. I wanted to talk about some things about the future of the Knowledge of Nothing podcast.
Well, just talk about it. I'll edit it out. That's fine.
Okay. So cue the McHugh while we talk about
what?
This.
What? You have to look it up? You just told him to stop recording.
No.
Cue the McHugh. Why? He's editing this out.
I know he's editing out, but he could put the McHugh in between. That's what I'm saying. Okay. Now, are we back? Are we back, guys? Are we back?
Yes. We're back after editing out like 5 minutes of dead air.
Sorry.
There, right?
Sorry, dude. Yeah, for you guys. But we were talking about some big things, some big ideas that we have that probably won't come to fruition anyway. So anyway, it's on to the next thing. Brian, you want to get things started, Brian, since you're on a time constraint?
Okay. Stop blaming me.
Well, I'm not playing with you. What am I playing,
not playing
with you
as
for?
Not playing, as in blaming.
Oh,
me.
Blaming. Okay, yeah. Well, I am blaming you.
All right, guys, let's kick those stars, lights, fires, smack that ass. Let's get it going. Woo!
Woo!
Boom!
Welcome to the con.
Good morning, guys. You know, when you look forward to something all week long, and then it finally comes to that day, you know, whether it be like, I don't know, just like Christmas or, you know, you're about to do something really fun and then that day comes and you're just not all that excited about it. That's how I kind of feel today. Today is a big old report and I was looking forward to this all the way up until Friday afternoon.
Why? What happened on Friday? What? Oh, when we started talking about it or what?
When we started talking about it. Tony got all pissy because made a comment and we'll get to that.
You know? Yeah.
But we might as well get into now it, I'm just like, it's all you.
Oh, well, of course it is, Oren. Of course, because why would you disagree with Tony? Of course it is.
That has nothing to do with that. I'm talking about the whole report.
Yes, it does.
It's all you.
Oh, stop it. This is the BO report.
The BO report.
You are the O in the BO report.
Next.
Why?
Moving on.
Why? You moving on. That's what you always say. What is up?
All right. So what do we got going on? How was your week, guys? I mean, before we get into the BO report, Brian, I know that you're riding on cloud nine last night. You played hockey for a good 7 hours. You won both games. I mean, how are you feeling this morning?
My body is feeling the age today, this morning, but mentally I feel fantastic. I'm just like,
good,
ooh,
dude.
what a good way to start the weekend. I mean, like a couple goals last night, two wins, some fights, you know, it just, you
did
know,
you
like,
fight last night?
I was in one. Yeah.
Oh, really?
I'm not a big fighter. So like, I'm not out there like
bullshit,
Rocky.
Dude. I think this
I'm
is like
not.
The second or third fight that you've been on.
Well,
since
it's
done
because
the show.
We're a very competitive team. And you know, when, we play against other very competitive teams and then, you know, stuff happens out there, but you know, when you're on the ice, when that happens, you know, you've got to square off. So that's just part of the game. And like I said, I'm not a big fighter.
Why is it the only place us outside of a boxing ring or an MMA octagon that is it's okay to fight? Why is that? Why is that okay?
It's part of the game. When you know, you know. And you don't know. But
yeah, you're not exactly.
But
enlighten
you know,
me,
like
please.
In last night's case, the other team shot on our goalie. Our goalie made a save. And then after the whistle, when play should have been dead, one of the players took a swipe with a stick at our goalie.
Oh shit! Okay.
And
that's nasty.
Yeah, you know, like hit him in the hands with it.
Yeah.
And the ref wasn't going to call anything about that, but you know, there's
why
some
didn't
ice.
The ref call him? Why didn't the ref call like
that
high
kind of
sticking
stuff
or whatever?
That kind of stuff really? Happens. But you know, But that doesn't mean that it goes unnoticed. And then for those of us on the ice, there's some like little bit of ice justice out there. So we took matters into our own hands.
So according to Wikipedia, says, you know, fighting in hockey, although it's often target of criticism, and it is a considerable draw for the sport, and some and the fans that attend the games primarily do go because they want to see the fights. Those who defend fighting in hockey say it helps deter other types of rough play, allows teams to protect their star players, and creates a sense of solidarity among teammates.
Absolutely. Yeah, you think that guy did
so
it
basically,
again?
So basically, you've got gang warfare on the ice. That's why, I mean, that's all about it. Listen, violence is always the key for everything, right?
He's got a team out there, too. The same number of guys that we've got.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's a
turf
war,
and if they want to jump in and help out, then that's on them.
Oh, whatever. A team solidarity.
It is.
Oh, let's all fight together.
It bonds us together. It bonds us together. Well, why do you go to concerts and jump into a mosh pit?
Because it feels good and it feels freeing. But I'm not punching anybody.
Yes, you are. You're punching. You got kicked in the face. I saw a boot print on your cheek.
Yes. I did get kicked in the face.
I saw a size 12 on your face.
That was on accident. It was on accident. It's called what is that? Collateral damage. You know when you go in, what's going to happen?
You know what, then, Tony? All fighting in hockey is accidental too. There you go.
Oh, and it's collateral damage.
It's collateral damage.
Well, there you go. All right. So, hey, Oren, how was your week this week, my friend?
Good.
Okay. All right. Wayne, what about your week? I see that you've got some notes in here, and I don't even know if I want them, but...
Let me start off with this. Work kicked my ass this week. I'll just say that. But on the plus side... remember, I wound up going back to, like, I don't know if I think I mentioned last week that they and I were potentially in the process of booking a trip.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yesterday, we actually booked our trip. So later this year, we're going to be going on our first international trip together.
Oh, wow. Where are you guys going?
Any guesses? Wow. I'll give you guys a guess.
Japan.
No.
Oh, that was my guess, too.
Oh, damn.
The Galapagos Islands. Sure.
I instantly thought Japan too.
Very close.
Oren wins. What is let's see here. International. So it's not gonna be Hawaii. Where else would Wayne go?
I'll give you guys a hint. I'm
gonna go study molten lava with the pygmies in Haiti.
That's my trip.
There's so much. Oren, I think, covered like three continents in that one sentence right there. That's awesome.
Wayne, do you have any layovers?
There is one stop I have to make for the flight. Technically, there's going to be multiple flights because we're going to be going visiting different areas on this continent and also the neighboring islands. And it's a pretty long flight too.
Oh. Okay. All right. I know what it is.
Okay.
I know what it is.
Are you going to
Fiji? You're going to Australia.
Yes, it is.
Wow.
Ding, ding, dude, ding. Serious? That's awesome, dude. Well, congratulations.
Yeah. Congratulations.
So are you going to New Zealand too or what?
Yeah. So it's going to be,
you're going to do the Lord of the Rings walk, aren't you?
Yeah, totally. I can totally see him doing right? it.
Me too. Look at his, Dana's going to drag you to do that.
Well, I'll say this. We're in Australia, we got a kind of a organized plan trip set up for that. And then for the New Zealand, my sister, brother-in-law, and my oldest nieces are currently living in New Zealand. So we're going to go visit with them for a bit too. And then on our actual anniversary, we actually have reservations already at the Hobbiton. So for a dinner banquet tour. So
that is so
cool.
What a trip.
So it's going to be it's a big one. So we're kind of figuring that, make sure we're going to iron our deductibles, cross our T's, dot our I's, do all this stuff for that.
Now, Wayne, you being on the other side of the world like that, you got to make sure you have good internet reception for our show, right?
What? Sorry, you woke up on that?
Because Tony is able to travel wherever, right? He went to Spain
and
made it to our show.
right now in Australia, it's 1 a.m.
I want you to record on the...
When you're drunk. When you're drunk.
On the volcano of Mordor or wherever it is.
or at Hobbiton. Yeah. Oh man, that would be kind of cool.
That would
Hobbiton
be awesome.
Kind of remote. Yeah.
I could probably report clips. I just don't know how we're going to be able to sync up time wise because it's, yeah, it's 1 a.m. right now in Australia.
That's fine with me. You can be up at 1 a.m. That's okay.
I don't know about that.
Drinking some meat. So, wow, that's awesome, man. I can't, congratulations on that.
Yeah,
man.
We were initially thinking something closer for a big for a trip to go to. Then we're like, and the totally opposite happened. So we went, how far can we go? So.
Oh, sweet. Well, go big or go home, dude.
That's right. So
that flight, dude, that flight alone is like, what, 18, 19 hours?
It's a total, because we go to Sydney, then we go to stop over at Cairns, I think. That's where we're starting things off. And that's like in total, like 20 hours, you know?
Yeah. Oof.
Yeah, that's so rough, man. If we fly out so we need to be there on a Saturday, but we have to fly out on like midnight on Thursday our time to get there.
Wow. That's wow. Crazy, man.
It's ridiculous. But
yeah, we started germinating our trip, so it looks like we're going to be going too. Are you going in when? Like October or November?
Yeah, around that time frame. Yeah, September, October.
Yeah, same here. So maybe we'll have to we'll take a little break, and it'll just be the BO report for a couple of weeks, or the O report, and then the B report.
Well, with that, I do have listener feedback.
All right, sweet. What's the listener feedback that you have? Okay, go ahead.
What? I was going to say, Tony, did you talk about your week?
My week, I don't have really anything to talk about. I know a big event happened yesterday, right? 420. Woo-woo! Ooh. Did Tony partake? No, he didn't. Is he going to partake? No, I'm not. So there you go.
Can I just tell you how proud I am of you? Thanks, I thought for sure you would.
Yeah, I was tempted.
You would have told me, you know what, guys? something happened or somebody brought me something and... I just thought maybe just one winner. Or I expected
the
something.
The thought crossed my mind. The thought crossed my mind.
Good for you. Yeah, mentally thanks, strong. Dude. You held out and stay on that clean life. And I'm proud of you.
Yeah, I need to start working on the booze though, man. Because I had a drink on Friday night. I had sushi. Tony came out. If people don't know,
you're mean to me on Friday.
I'm always mean when I'm a mean drunk. I'm a mean nice drunk.
I guess you are. You need to be. You're right. You need to get off the sauce. Yeah. And I'm talking sauce box. You need to get off my back.
But again, it was a good week, man. I had a good week. I stayed at home, and we actually last night we cooked. Oren, we're saving you some of this. We cooked some. I'm not really a big chili fan, so last night we decided we're gonna make some chili, but we're gonna Tony and Sarah it up. Make it like really tasty.
Yeah.
And Oren, the best chili I've ever had in my life. No beans in it. And we froze some. So when you're out here, you're going to have a bowl of the chili and we could maybe even put it on our hot dogs if we do the contest this year. I'm still protesting, but you know, if maybe
Tony,
if we have our
wiener
off.
You're going to have to get over it.
Mean over it? The people have spoken. Yeah, your family has spoken.
Stop saying that. Everybody is.
It is. It's your family, dude. It's your family that wins out. They all come out in droves and support
Listen,
you.
Listen, just the fact that you can't awesome. Accept it,
exactly.
That's not my problem.
I'm a weenie. So
anyway, this morning, last week, I keep hearing about Oren's trip out to your place. Like, is there a trip planned? Like, and if so, is it coming up soon? I mean, Oren, no, are you going out
July,
there
right?
anytime soon?
Yeah.
All right. He's coming out in July, and we're talking about possibly going to so the Angels and the Cubs, we've already decided, you know, those are going to be mine now. American and National League teams, they're actually going to be playing together at Wrigley Field the week he's out here. So I'm excited about that.
That we'll is awesome.
So, Wayne, sorry about taking that away.
No.
What was your feedback? I want to go into our listener feedback this week.
Actually, that was a good setup and segue because last week, you know, Brian was talking, was setting up Tony's or hyping up Tony's holiday that was this weekend, which is 420. But we actually have something related to that, to Tony's holiday from longtime listener Donald. And because he says, when he heard Brian talk about Tony's holiday weekend, he wasn't really talking about, he didn't think about 420. I thought it was because Taylor Swift released her new album this weekend, and that's what he was all excited about.
I didn't even realize that. Oh, funny, dude!
It's all over the internets. It's all over the internets and the interwebs. And quite frankly, guys, I don't know. Everybody's trashing the album this weekend. I haven't listened to it because, again, I don't understand Taylor Swift, but a lot of people are not liking it. They're saying it's some of her weakest material yet.
Well,
so,
how many relationships is that? She's like reaching now, from what I have heard. How many relationships has that girl had? And apparently this whole album, and I've only heard two songs because they were forced upon me by a certain radio show. But apparently they're all diss tracks on freaking ex-boyfriends. And how many freaking ex-boyfriends does this
woman have? Oh, jeez. Whoa. No, she. Yeah, and why not? Why not?
And
like,
I only
celebrate,
say that because I'm not one of them.
Like, yeah.
Well, you wouldn't be because $1 billion to control you.
And then, dude, the other thing is, why is she like, she's dissing? I know, but the thing is, she's dissing on like Kim Kardashian, is my understanding too. Isn't that beef like fucking 15 years old? Get some new fucking shit, man. How about that, you know, that bad blood that you're talking about? How about the, get over it and fucking find some new blood? Why don't you make a diss track about like Patrick Mahomes? Or why don't you make something about Ezekiel Elliott or anybody else in the NFL? I mean, why does it, or even about like, what's it, Travis Kelce's brother, Jason Kelce? Couldn't you like go to the well for something new? This old rehash stuff, get the fuck over it. You're in a better part in your life. Why don't you celebrate that? Why don't you talk about that? Why don't you sing about that? Instead, you want to go back to that well of negativity. Jesus Christ, move on, woman. So,
yeah,
that's all I'm saying.
I have no comment.
Well, Tony, no, isn't it, like, honestly, like, regardless if we think about Taylor Swift, but like just the artists in general, like especially rock artists, it's all the best albums are the angsty albums, right?
Yeah, but again, why go back to that? Well, why not? Why not be different? I mean,
change,
why not evolve? Yeah, exactly. Change it up. Complain about the NFL. Complain about whatever else is going on in your life. Who knows? But yes, angst does create that, but also you have some beautiful lyrics and you have some beautiful things that have been big hits for certain bands. I'll give you one example. The Flaming Lips. What's the name of that song? Do you realize one of the most beautiful songs ever written? And it is awe-inspiring. There's no angst in it. It's all about being present. It's all about like just finding and really understanding a perspective. And it's a beautiful, beautiful song. Why not like celebrate that? Go into the deep stuff about the happiness, not just the darkness. I don't know. It just seems a little overdone anyway. So,
well,
especially there,
you know,
since
what,
it's all like, yeah, go ahead.
We'll send it over to Taylor and we'll see hopefully for her next album, she'll just listen to your feedback, you know?
I'm just here to provide and guide. That's it. Provide and guide.
Are you her spirit guide? Are you her unannounced spirit guide?
Yeah, that's right.
Tony, you heard it here, folks.
I like that.
You are her.
I'm here to.
Her astroplane spirit guide.
Her muse. I know her muse. And yeah, with in my Bucky shirt. Yeah. All right.
Of course.
All right.
So
all right. What other feedback?
So here's the anonymous feedback that I texted you guys yesterday. And it basically talks about all three of you. So let's start off with this one regarding, let's go to Brian. This listener wants to know, is Brian really afraid of Dana? Because that's how it sounded like on last week's show. And she goes, they weren't sure if Brian was like has a certain fear or has a certain level of what the appropriate word would be. But that was a question that was raised up with the
Me answer that really quick. The answer is yes. It is a respectful fear. What I know of Dana from my brief friendship with her so far,
that's what
is that I well yeah we'll see on my end I feel like it is, but anyway, I might be one-sided on that. I know not to cross her. and I feel like that respectful fear has done me well so far, so here we go.
Trepidation.
Yeah.
Trepidation. And
I mean, guys, you obviously know her better than I do. Am I wrong in this?
No, you're not. You're not. You're not wrong on that. You're not wrong on it. Yeah, she's a.
I think she's great. I think she's funny.
Fit for Wayne. Yeah.
And she's amazing. You know, with Wayne and
totally.
But
and a good
still.
And a foodie and fun to be around and
yeah.
A blast.
Yeah, we have a lot in common.
But don't you cross her.
But I'm not but crossing her. I'm not crossing her.
No, you don't want to be on that
cross
side.
Her. Right. Oh,
no.
Exactly.
All right. And the rest of the feedback from this listener, they said they love the competition game, especially when we all bow down to Lord O.
Oh, yes. Lord O. I like that title.
Lord O.
Man.
And also, regards to, I think this is maybe a comment related to the hot sauces episodes that we've done recently. This listener also wants to know, does Tony have a large insurance policy on him? Because of all the pain you self-inflict.
I don't actually. Maybe I should look into that.
And also, but, related to that, is also wondering, is Sarah trying to take him out of this world with peep tacos? You know,
that might be true.
She was just trying to. No, you guys are fucking trying to take me out.
You came Brian up with this yourself.
No, yeah. Well, who knew? Who knew that it was going to be such controversy and so much surrounding it? I hope it really lived up to the hype, which I don't know. I haven't heard anybody. I haven't heard a peep online about it. So.
Well, you just did right now. You just did right now.
I know.
And lastly, the listener says that they really should have the adorable Dina on more often. But I think it's a bit biased because this feedback's coming from her mom. So there you go.
Joyce.
There we go. Joyce. Yes. Love you too, Joyce. Man, I miss Joyce. All right. It's time for everybody's favorite segment of the week.
All right, guys, another week. We're on time constraints, so let's see what happens. Here we go. It's going to be interesting because I can't see your guys' faces.
I'm totally not laughing here. I'm not laughing at all. You can't see me.
All right, guys. Well, let me start this off with, some immortal words from Evie Bukele, New Bohemians. You guys, you know, I'm not aware of too many things, but I know what I know if you know what I mean. Do you? All right, here we go. Ready?
Ready.
How many flies does it take to screw in a light bulb?
How many flies does it take to screw in a light bulb?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
Yeah. No, it's only two, but the hard part is getting them in the light bulb.
Wait, I'm still trying to figure that one out.
That is a funny fucking joke, dude. Yeah. That is a good joke. Wayne, did you figure it out?
No, I'm still figuring it out. Still trying to figure it out. How many flies does it take to screw in a light bulb? Two. Oh, wow. That was slow on the uptake there. Hold on. Here we go. Wow.
Oh, that was a great joke.
All right. And we'll just do a couple more, whether they're good or bad. Who knows? Hey, guys. What do you call a horny square?
Horny square. I have no idea.
An rectangle. All right, guys.
Hey, that wasn't terrible, but it wasn't good.
Well, you know, hey, what can I say? Hey, guys, is butt cheeks all one word, or should I spread them apart?
Where's Saucebox? I don't even hear him anymore. Oh, he's on mute. That's why. Oh, yeah, that was a good joke. The butt cheeks one. Yes, that works.
All right, and I'll leave you guys with this one. Good old knock. Hey, knock, knock.
Who's there?
Who's there?
Tank.
Tank who?
Tank who?
You're welcome.
Yeah. All right.
So, let's go on to some facts here. What do you say? Facts, facts, facts. Yeah, we'll do some facts. These facts are, make you think, maybe. But mostly there's to make me sound smart. So here we go. Did you know a chef's hat has exactly 100 pleats?
Really?
No, I did not know that. Wow.
Yeah.
Why? Does it say why?
Yeah, so apparently Bon Appetit magazine brings this tasty tidbit. Get it? Tasty tidbit because it's a chef. Anyway, a chef's tall hat, officially known as a toque or a toque. I don't know. Anyway, toque. A toque is traditionally made with 100 pleats, which is meant to represent the 100 ways to cook an egg.
Huh.
That's fascinating. You know what I love about this show? is that we will pull knowledge from all sorts of different, you know, venues. Like didn't we drop something that was featured in Home and Garden also? Now Oren's reading Bon Appetit, and I love it. Yeah. I love it.
Oren is never like, he's always delving into everywhere. Right. And you never know where these facts are going to be coming from. And that's absolutely amazing.
I know. It's just so fascinating. That one, you know, writer from Bon Appetit, so like, somebody did read that article. Thank you.
And he's plugging me on his show. I know. That's so great.
You guys know there was a successful Tinder match in Antarctica in 2014.
What?
What? A successful Tinder match?
A successful Tinder match, yes. Apparently, dating in Antarctica is popular across the globe. But it didn't have a connection.
You know, maybe I'm just more impressed that there's actually internet down there.
This is true.
Yeah, same here.
This is true. What happens here? It says a man working in Antarctica's McMurdo Station and a woman camping 45-minute helicopter ride away found they had matched and they hooked up. So there you go.
Oh, wow. Wow. So, yeah, Tinder on all seven continents, huh? Wow, look at that, getting busy. 2014, though, that was...
I guess, too, like your options are limited, right? You're like, hey, I'm the best you're going to find out here.
you got to do what you got to do, man. You got to procreate, right?
You know, like, you're just gonna go, you don't match your photo. And you're like, what are you going to do? I showed up, right?
I was 45 minutes away. I hiked. That's right. At that point, you know, I think
how much
be like,
fuel costs for this helicopter?
It's not even fuel, man. It's probably, they had to hump out there. They had to, like, I don't mean that literally. I mean, they probably hump when they got together, but they had to walk out there and do a forced march, and maybe they met halfway. I don't know.
Well, instead of a 45-minute helicopter ride, I'm just trying to figure out how far of a distance that is. So I'm kind of doing some quick Googling, and I guess on a calm day, 45 minutes could be about 100 miles or up to 100 miles. That's some distance.
Can you imagine just talking to your friends, like in the, like whatever research lab he's in? Hey guys, I got a hot date. I got to get going.
Yes. And not only that, but you know that they leaked this to the press, man, so they could be like, yeah, we hooked up in Antarctica
on a glacier.
Yeah, that's going to be our claim to fame, man.
But then
we boinked in the tundra.
It's south here.
Okay,
Tundra's north. But you know, you're out there with your significant other. I mean, what else are you going to do out there?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's all you stay warm.
That's right. It was a survival technique.
Yes. Again, Oren batting 1,000, man, with these facts.
Well, I got one more. I missed the last 15 seconds of what you guys just said there. But anyway, this one, hey, Tony, when you're eating your sushi, or I guess any of us really, except for me, I don't like it. Most wasabi that we eat in the U.S. isn't really wasabi.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've known that because I guess the wasabi, the originating wasabi, is very hard to grow. And I think there's only certain spots in the entire world that can grow this wasabi. So they use what was it, like horseradish, right?
Yeah.
Or something like
It's white horseradish mixed with ground mustard seeds and green dye.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's still tasty, though. I love it, man. I don't want to snort it, though. Don't snort it.
Wait. Why would you have to say that disclaimer?
Yeah.
Oh, because I watched Jackass and they snorted, Steve-O snorted, you know, back in the day when he was doing heavy drugs, he decided that he was going to be funny and snort wasabi, and it was the most gross thing that I've ever seen on screen. Well, one of the grossest things I've ever seen on screen, so don't snort it. Yeah.
Okay.
PSA, the more you know. Where's the more you know at, man? Come on. There you go.
I feel like you can learn a lot from Jackass.
And just one more on the lighter side, you guys. Green eggs and ham started as a bet. There you go. Yes.
A bet?
Really?
The book or actual green eggs and ham?
No, the book. So Dr. Seuss classic. it grew out of a bet that the editor, he bet Dr. Seuss he could not create a book using fewer than 50 different words. And Dr. Seuss said, I bet I can. The editor said, nah, nah. And so he did it and then said, screw you.
I'm going here.
Huh. I added all that last part. But yeah, anyway, just thought I'd, you know, end it
that, like
that.
That's interesting. Like, that's like what probably what his most popular book, right?
Yeah.
Arguably.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I would have to say that. Well, Cat in the Hat, I think, is probably up there, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Horrible film, by the way. Horrible.
The Cat in the Hat?
The live yeah, action. Hat. Yeah.
Yeah, live action. Yeah, with Mike Myers.
The animated one's sort of funny.
Yeah.
There was a live action.
Oh, Grinch
of that?
Is probably Grinch. Yeah, there was a live action. You don't remember that?
Maybe I put that kind of locked that away in my brain somewhere.
You're about to unlock some old memories you didn't want to resurface, Wayne.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Don't unleash that Pandora's box. It was, it was pretty bad.
Wow, that's maybe it almost gives a Cats musical maybe something to run work, you know, some competition there based on what I'm looking at.
Oh, my God. So that's been on HBO Max recently, and I have, like, every time I get tempted to kind of watch it, which it happens like more often than I care to admit, I look at it and then you know how sometimes when you hover over that and then they'll show you like a brief like preview of the movie, the preview comes on and I go, oh fuck, I can't do it. So
Tony, this is just one of the many side effects of you know, like sobering up and getting clean and stuff like that, because
I'm looking for that
no
next
time
fix, dude.
In my life have I ever contemplated thinking I'm like, maybe you should watch Cat in the Hat today. Yo, like
no, this is Cats. Cats.
Oh, just Cats. That's how we're talking about Cats. Oh,
yes.
Well, still, the same applies.
Yeah. Hey, you know, Tony, next, if you ever decide to start partaking again, maybe that'd be the film to watch.
Right.
Oh,
your gateway back
in. Yes, that's my gateway drug.
That's right. Watching some catnip over here.
Yeah, I probably, to Oren's point, I probably need fentanyl for that. anyway,
so
anything else, Oren?
No, that's all I got. I know we're on time constraint. So that's it for that. Just, I didn't check, so we didn't have a poll question, right?
No, okay, we don't.
All right. Then that is it. That's some facts and some jokes. Hope you liked them. Hope you love them. But ultimately, I don't care. All right, let's go.
Thanks, O.
All right. And thanks, O. And when we get back, it's that time again, folks. It's time for the sports rundown with the BO report right after a word from Soy Cat Candles.
This and every episode of The Con is sponsored by Soy Cat Candles, your consistent, high-quality, nose-hole companion since 2016. Visit SoyCatCandles.com to shop the latest in seasonal products, and together, we can help find our furry friends forever homes. Me wow.
Are we back, guys?
We're back. Hit that bumper.
Yeah, we're going to hit the bumper to the coolest bumper of all time, except for Brian. All right, here we go. All right.
Welcome to the BO Report. I'm Brian, and I bring the B.
And I'm Oren, and I bring the O.
All right. I am not going to skirt around this, but we've got a lot of WNBA talk to talk about. But first, we're going to talk about a few other things, because the WNBA talk will be most of our conversation.
Yes, it will.
First off, let me just say congratulations to the Wrexham Red Dragons for getting promoted the second year in the
row. Yes.
Congratulations. That team is amazing. I know Oren and Wayne are not watching that series on FX, but Tony and I are fans. You guys will be fans too if you decide to give that a shot. But I've stopped asking you guys. It is amazing. You know it's amazing. Watch it when you're ready. Some people just aren't ready to witness such greatness.
As soon as they put more hours in the day, I will watch it.
But congratulations to that team. I mean, Tony and I, we have this kind of a separate thing all year long where I don't know, is it a text? Is it a Instagram? Anyway, we send each other messages
About
all year round about Wrexham and how they're doing and wins, loses, news and stuff. So I know that we are in tune with that. Currently, they had another game yesterday. They got to finish out the season and they got one more game in the regular season before playoffs start. Yesterday, they won 3-0, for my... my language, but they are finishing the season strong. But they looks like they will take second place overall in League Two, which guarantees them a promotion into League One at the start of next season. So we are very excited about that, and congratulations again to the Wrexham Red Dragons. And
didn't you say that this is the first time in history that that's happened?
So I heard that. I have not confirmed it. That's why I didn't say it live. But somebody, I did hear it. I don't know if it's,
horse to water.
Regardless, that's still an amazing feat, however you look at it. Getting promoted twice in 2 years. I mean,
100%.
And the next season of Welcome to Wrexham on Hulu and FX premieres on May 2nd. So, right around the corner.
Wrexham news, all the Wrexham, all over the place.
Wrexham. Did you know that Paul Mullen wrote a book too, Tony?
No, he did.
Yeah,
really?
I got it.
Oh no, you sent me the link.
Yeah.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah, I ordered it.
Have you read it yet?
I have not read it, but I ordered it and I got it, and it's got a nice passage from Rob and Ryan. The owners of the team.
Oh, that's nice. That's awesome.
In there as well. So I'm looking forward
to talk about his injury in there. Or they, I wonder if they talked about his injury
in the promo.
Yeah, I saw that.
Because last season, if you guys remember, he was playing a friendly game, which is like a mean nothing. It means nothing, but it's like a preseason, little tournament. But he punctured a lung. Was hospitalized for a while. It was like a brutal injury. Like he took this like crazy hit on the field and it was just laid out on the field. I remember watching that game live. Do you remember? I think you and I were texting like, Mullen is on the grass and he's not getting up. Oh my gosh. They're bringing the stretcher out. Yo, like,
this is horrible. Yeah. We think it's all over for Rex now.
Yeah. We're done. But he had an amazing season, after his injury. And I just love this team so much. I love following the story, and the whole town of Wrexham. And I think they say it in the trailer. I'm not sure who exactly says it, somebody says, like this documentary. A lot of people thought that Rob and Ryan were going to come and change Wrexham, right? But in actuality, it's Wrexham changing everybody else, and I thought that was like a good line in the promo, and that kind of encapsulates, thank you, I cannot speak, how the whole series makes you feel. I mean, they talk so much about the town and the people who support this team and everything that they need to go through and just what wins and losses mean to this community. And like they wear it so heavily. Like when the team wins, they all win, right? They all feel great.
Yeah.
And when they lose, they all feel it. They all feel it too. And I feel like, the show definitely gives a sentiment that, Rob and Ryan have really taken on that responsibility and they want to bring this product to the town. And for the people, because they've been through so much in their history and like they feel obligated to like, let's give these people what they truly want. And that's a winning football club.
And don't we all want that? I want a winning baseball club for once, please. in the Angels. Can we get that going? Artie Moreno? Guess not.
Angels.
All right. Move on. Anyway. So,
I am confused. Yeah. Okay, since you brought it up, I know that you're an Angels fan, right? I'm not here to dispute that. But didn't you also say you're like a Cubs fan now?
Yeah, the Cubs are the Cubs are my National League team. But you know, I really haven't been paying that much attention to baseball as much as I used to, because I've kind of got just kind of given up. I don't know. I need to start watching some Chicago games, but I want to do that more live than I do on TV, because again, I've already told you on the show how much of an experience it is to go to Wrigley and to be there and to cheer on the Cubbies. It's just, it's amazing. I can't wait for Oren to come out and kind of do the same thing here in July. It's going to be
that way. Are you saying California fans are just bad?
They suck. They really suck. I was born two blocks away from Angels Stadium. So I can say this with authority that fans in Orange County specifically, they don't get hyped. I mean, they get hyped about things, but it's not to the level of, say, Chicago.
I get hyped on sports. I've lived here my whole life.
Brian, and
am I the exception?
You don't know what hyped is. You need to come out here and see what really hyped up is. You need to really see what hyped up is. The Kings fans, the Ducks fans, you guys are all boring ass fans. You're boring ass people with boring ass fans. That's it. All of Southern California is just boring ass.
I feel like you have to say that because you moved away and you don't want to feel bad about moving away.
No, I'm saying that. You know what I'm saying that? You know why I'm saying that? I actually think that there's a correlation here. You guys are so spoiled or not even spoiled. You guys are like, the weather's always perfect. Yep. There's no really kind of adversity. The only adversity, the thing that you have to kind of do in Southern California, and quite frankly, I think this is part of the problem. In California, you have a drive culture, right? You have to drive here, drive there. You basically are you wake up, go to work, drive on the freeway for hours and hours and hours. By the time you get to a game, you guys are fucking spent. It's not your fault. You guys are just so spent that you just don't want to put any enthusiasm into sports or anything else. You're just there to entertain me. Yeah. All right, I don't have enough energy to give you. Here, yeah, you guys you're great. Oh, boo. It's the culture.
Every time you tell me that you're doing something,
Brian, how long does it take you?
You're always 4 hours away from everything.
you're
the middle of nowhere, and there's a big circle.
Not from a Hawkeyes game. I went and saw Caitlin Clark maybe 10 minutes away from me. I didn't have to drive fucking 45 minutes each way. Again, it's that car culture. It's like, you guys don't even realize it, but you're in there. You're spending money on gas, you're doing this, you're doing that. All your whole time is going from A to B. That's it. Your whole lives are A to B.
So
A to B.
Car culture and by the kills time sports. You get to the end is that the argument? Yeah, I'm trying to understand.
In LA,
here.
It does. Yes, in Southern California, it has 100%. That is exactly what it is.
Theory.
You guys are so done with everything, and then you have to go on and pay $30 for bottles of water pay a convenience charge and a tip.
That's ridiculous.
So Brian, why would you want to chant? Everything is so stacked up against you guys. You're just there to go like entertain.
Oh man.
All right, can I leave early now?
Gotta beat the traffic.
I gotta drive home. Yeah, I gotta beat traffic. Exactly. See what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? Jeez, that's why they suck the life out of you in Southern California, guys.
Man.
Anyway, all right. Enough of my little rant. Back to the BLG.
All right. This week, we've got the NFL draft happening on Thursday. So as of this recording. So I saw Oren's woo-woo finger there.
We all know, though, Brian. This is Brian's, like, this is your event. This guy buys wings. He does selfies. He's texting us the entire time. I cannot wait till Thursday because it feels like Brian is like alive. Remember how I was talking about how everybody's kind of dead in Southern California? This is when Brian is fully alive.
Not just for the draft.
It's whenever the draft
is. I am a sports fan. I don't leave early from games. I know you lumped me into the big crowd because I still live in Southern California, and secretly I feel like you're jealous about that. But anyway, I stay to the end of the sports games. I'm there for the national anthem. I love the drafts. You know, in fact, this is not the only draft we're going to be talking about. But you know me. I plan events around sporting events. I love them. You know, and it's not just hockey. Even though I'm a big hockey guy, I plan events. I love football also. And the NFL draft is just a lot of fun for me. I love seeing these new prospects going to these new teams. I love even more the trades that happen at the draft. And it's just a whole lot of fun. Unfortunately and fortunately, I don't know, however you want to look at that, my team, the Washington Commanders, have been in the top five for the draft the last couple of years, which means that their regular season sucked, which, oh man. And that is true again this year. We have the number two pick overall. So we'll see if this pick pans out, whoever it may be. But regardless of when my team picks, I watch the full draft. I like it. I think it's fun. And it's a weekend thing. So I am, you know, dialed in all weekend, and I love it. But and Tony's right. I plan out my meals. I know what I'm going to wear. The family knows that, you know, like, hey, I got dibs on the living room TV because, you know, I have a big screen. I might as well watch it on that. So
I'm glad that brings you joy, because
it does. It does.
I don't get it.
I know. And when we were talking about the WNBA draft, which, by the way, was the first one that I watched, you were oddly silent during that whole texting chain. And
I'm talking about Maestro here.
I'm talking about the Maestro.
Oh, gotcha.
He was oddly MIA. And then all of a sudden.
Well, he just told you he doesn't get the draft.
Out of the blue.
He doesn't understand it.
He was like kind of complaining a little bit on how often the three of us were texting.
Well, yeah, it was.
which made me chuckle a little bit. But
and again, I say and always say, get over it.
Talking to me or get Wayne here?
It. Both of you.
Get over
yeah.
it.
Anyone. Just get over it.
Isn't that an Eagle song?
All right. And moving on, I heard a crazy stat that I have not verified, but, you know, horse to water. But I heard that it is a rarity that the NBA and the NHL start their playoffs on the same day. So
I heard that. Yeah. Too. That's the first time like ever.
Yeah. So.
Right. Or like one of the first time, like, I think since the 90s or something.
That was that was just kind of like one of those crazy sports stats that I was not aware of.
Kind of like on Saturday. Did you know that 420, 24 was the same backwards and forwards? Did you guys know that?
No, I didn't realize that. You're right. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
But so anyway,
because you didn't saw partake.
Oh yeah. Here's the thing. I get what you guys
partook,
are saying.
You would have noticed that.
I understand. I get what you guys are saying.
So true.
I have no regrets not partaking in all these.
No regrets.
No regrets. But anyway, are you talking that I don't partake in 420? You're right. I never have.
No, yeah, exactly. I never have. Never will.
Yep. Oh, I didn't get it. But all right. But anyway, so the NHL and the NBA started their playoffs on, as of this recording, yesterday, on Saturday, 420. So it's going to be amazing. I did have some questions for O, who is our NBA expert, and specifically with the Lakers, which is the NBA team that I follow. And this season, more so than seasons past, there's so much happening with the NBA, with, you know, in-game tournaments and changing the floorboards and adding games and changing the whole playoff structure. And I get it. The commissioner wants to change it up a bit, draw in new fans, which I got to admit, as much as people might complain about it, it's kind of worked, I think, because now I've been interested in it. Like, what's happening now? Like, it creates conversation. And I think I've watched more NBA games this season than I have since, you know, in the past like 5-10 years. But anyway, I asked Oren earlier if the in-game tournament at the beginning of the season, if that had any relevance to what's going on in the playoffs now. And then I asked him, Oren, about the whole playoff structure now, because I understand that the Lakers needed to win a playoff game to get into the playoffs. So, Big O, please dumb it down for me and explain yes. it.
And me too. It's all so right. complicated.
Well, the easy explanation is Google it, look it up.
Thank you, sir.
There you go. Point taken. No.
Force the water.
In a nutshell, basically, yeah, the in-season tournament had nothing to do with the regular season. No regular season games. That is not true. So it still went against your record, except for if you made it to the final game of the in-season tournament, that one didn't count. So there you go. That's still, trying to wrap my brain around that one. The playoff thing, that's actually not new this year. That's been going on for probably the last 3 or 4 years, if not longer. I'll try to give the Reader's Digest version to break it down. So basically, the playoffs used to be just, first 8 teams in the league made the playoffs. Boom, you're in, you're golden. 1 plays the 8, 2 plays 7, blah, 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 and so on and so forth. Then the NBA, which I think is just, figure out a way to make more money, they decided they're going to have a play-in tournament for the playoffs. So the first 6 teams are in the playoffs automatically. They're just in. You don't have to prove your, play your way in. And then it breaks down to the last, make it the 10 seed, for the regular season. So the way that breaks down is the 9 and 10 game play, the 7 and 8 game play. So just for the Lakers themselves, like I said, their last regular season game was in New Orleans against the Pelicans. If they won that game, they would have stayed in New Orleans and played for the 7-8 game. If they would have lost, they would have had to go and play one game against Golden State, or Sacramento ended up being, but at the time it would have been Golden State. And if they lost, they were out because they would have been the 10 seed. 10 seed doesn't count. They don't make it. So anyway, they won. They blew out the Pelicans their last game. They played the play-in game, so to speak. They won that game, so they became the 7th seed. They didn't have to play anything else. They were in the playoffs. The Pelicans then played the winner of the Golden State Warriors Sacramento Kings game. And the thing that was interesting about that is because Sacramento had been in the top 3 or 4 teams the whole season. And then just near the last 2 months of the season, they just went, they just took a nosedive down to they had a couple key injuries. But they took a nosedive to basically not being in the playoffs. But they beat Golden State. So Golden State was out. So then the 8 and 9 game between the Pelicans and the Kings, which the Pelicans won that game. So the Pelicans had to play 2 games to get in to the playoffs, and the Kings did too. So that was sort of, so if you were the 8 or 9 seed, you had to play 2 games just to get into the playoffs, the actual playoffs. And so that's what happened. The Pelicans beat the Kings. The Kings, gone. See ya. Bye-bye. Don't come back. And so they went all the way from number 3 all season down to being kicked out. And so now the playoffs are set. The ones playing the 8, so the Pelicans are playing the Oklahoma City Thunder. Lakers are playing the Nuggets, which, and so on and so forth. I don't know how it breaks down. The useless Clippers are in there. And
Denver's on fire right now, right? I mean, I was in Denver about 2 weeks ago, and man, that town is just all about the Nuggets, and I had no idea that they were
Well, it's because it's all they got. They're the defending champions, and outside of skiing in the winter,
that makes sense. They used to have the Broncos.
Well, yeah, I guess the Broncos are still there, but
well, Jokic, man, that guy's legit.
They have the Avalanche.
Jokic is there, but I got some thoughts on Jokic. I will leave them to myself because.
You want to be nice.
I do have a question, NBA, really a question for you though, because what Brian was mentioning, all the recent changes or the new changes over the past several years, whatever it may be. Yeah. As a longtime NBA fan, what is your perspective on it? Do you feel like it's good for the game, or is it distracting from the game, or anything like that?
No, I think it's good. If anything, it prolongs the season.
Yeah, that's always a good thing.
Like I said, the in-season tournament, still trying to wrap my brain about it, because why? That's sort of like you know, I don't get because it's in the season anyway. So why, you know?
But get this, Oren. I mean, think about it. We were talking about it. Everybody was talking about it in the middle of the season.
That is
true. When traditionally there's nothing going on, right?
Yeah.
You're just focused on your teams, but it gave you another reason to talk about the NBA. So, you know, kudos to that thing, because I know it didn't make any sense, but looking back, I think it was really good for the sport.
Yeah, no, it added more, like you said, people, you know, were talking about it and it got publicity.
Yeah, totally.
So, I think it was good for the sport too. I mean, it kept people talking, like to Tony's point, you know, all year round. So.
Yeah. So way to answer your question, I think, you know, overall it helped it. You know, in the playoff, in the play-in tournament for the playoffs, that's just, you know, adds more intrigue and, you know,
It kind of reminds me of like wild card kind of sort of.
Yeah.
To a certain
extent. Yeah.
It's a little different, but kind of the same concept, right?
So
that makes sense.
So that's always a good
thing. So in a nutshell, Brian, I hope that breaks it down enough for you know, those and those that were asking you.
I still don't understand it. Got it. No, <I'm just kidding>.
Yeah, it's, you know.
but I appreciate it, Oren. Thank you.
No problem.
Now to the main event. We had the WNBA draft this past week, and three of the four of us were talking about it because we had, no surprise to us all, Caitlin Clark go number one overall to the Oklahoma Fever.
No, Indiana.
Oklahoma, Indiana.
Oh, I apologize.
Indiana.
I apologize.
Indiana.
Yeah.
See, this is how tuned in Brian is to the whole thing.
Yeah.
This is the problem right
Indiana.
Here. Didn't
we just, because we were talking ahead. About the Oklahoma Thunder. Yeah.
Gotcha.
So for, I apologize. It just stuck in my head. But anyway, Caitlin Clark went number one overall, which was no surprise, right? She was the top ranked college player. You know, she's just a offensive dynamo. I mean, nobody can sink a three like she can. I mean, from anywhere in the court, apparently,
anywhere.
Right? Even in the third row in the bleachers, you know, she's sinking those.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Right. And
that's where she practices right? from. Those are her practice shots.
So of course, and we've been talking about her for quite some time on the show. So of course, we were dialed in on the draft, which was pretty cool. And you know, guys, this was the first WNBA draft that I watched on TV. So what were your guys' thoughts?
It's the first one they had on TV.
Was it? I wasn't sure about that.
Was it really, Oren? I didn't know that. It really was the first one?
I'm pretty sure. I mean, I may be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it was the first time they televised it, unless...
Wow.
Or if it wasn't, it hadn't been done much before. And it's all because of
there was so much hype. Yeah, totally. Well, and then also it brought more attention to, like, the, you know, I've got a problem with Brian. I'm going to call him out because here he is all fucking season talking about how he's always going to be number one Caitlin Clark fan. I'm there. She's now my person that I'm going to watch. I'm going to devote so much attention to her, just like I do with Joey Chestnut.
Oh, and yes. Who else? Oh, good old Joseph.
And who else? Yes, Joseph Chestnut. And she's going to be my player I follow.
She's like my Tom Brady now.
Yeah, Tom Brady. Exactly. She is awesome. I know. So, again, this is Brian's like, yes, I'm going to be following her. I mean, you can go back and listen to our episodes.
Nothing I said is not true.
And I will follow her. She's awesome. She's my now goat. I'm going to be forever. And then 2 fucking seconds after she's drafted to Indiana, he then fucking sends out a text. I hope Cameron Brink goes to LA. And now
my
he's all
team.
About fucking Cameron Brink.
You know why?
Cameron Brink is now my favorite player. That's what he fucking put in the text. She is now my favorite player. And it's all because of her
that
looks.
That is not what
and
I said.
And it has nothing to do with bullshit.
That is not
now
what I
can
said.
See through. I know Dude, how you work. I know how
I
you work.
I said that and I went and looked him up. Like defensive player. You know, like defense wins championships. She was supposed to be like the number one defensive player in college. So
Yes.
And of course, right? We all know this, right? Defense wins championships. Defense, right? I'm sorry. Love Caitlin Clark, but we know defense wins championships. Just ask
South Carolina. Dude, you waif in the wind. No. You have no principle.
No principle.
You have nothing. No principle. You said that Caitlin Clark was going to be your person.
You are just
that you
upset.
And then Cameron Briggs shows up with that dress and everything else, and Brian starts going gaga over her, and then he has to look up that she's a defensive player.
I didn't look up anything. Like, the announcer said it. Yeah. I didn't look up anything.
Oh,
because
sure,
I was watching it on
sure
TV. I mean,
exactly. But, well, anyway.
She is a defensive player. Okay, since you brought up her looks and her dress, she is very attractive, and she looked amazing in that dress. But anyway,
okay,
she is a top defensive player, and being the sports-minded genius that I am, you know, I know that defense wins games.
And of course, so thick, I can feel it over here.
Of course, you draft a defensive player.
Exactly. Yeah, so I'm sorry, Brian, this is bullshit.
What are you actually upset about? What are you mad about?
What am I mad about? Because you said that you were going to be like,
does that mean that
I'm
I can't like other
Clark
players?
No, it means that you need to be devoted to Caitlin Clark and where she's going and what she's doing.
I am.
And then you tell us
she's going to the Indiana Fever.
Cameron is not is now your favorite fucking player of all time. That's what you said.
I might have said that. I might have doubled down to piss you off. But
exactly. That's what you did.
I don't think you
did
piss him
me off. I don't think so either. That was the that was the underlying kind of current. That was the extra bonus, the extra cream on top. But he then is now a Cameron Brink fan.
Of course I am.
And
was drafted to my local team.
Brian, prior to Tuesday, or prior to whenever this thing went down, was Cameron Brink ever brought
didn't
up on
even
the
know
show?
Her name.
Did you
I didn't
even
know
who
her
Cameron
name.
Where
did she go to school?
Exactly,
she went to,
my fucking
she
point.
Went to Stanford.
Yes,
okay, all right.
Oh, well, he knew that because he watched the
draft. Now since
she's
my favorite player, I've looked her up. But
whatever.
She went to Stanford.
So again, this lies the whole problem with the WNBA right now. This I'm going to bring up something else. Not only is it like the sexualization of things, but then it's also
I have talked about her defensive skills.
Sure you did. That's exactly
hold on,
right.
Hold on.
And that's why
before
you talked
you
about
try,
her dress and
you
everything
talked
else
about her dress. I just commented on it. And
no, because you said something about her dress. Did you not in our text? I have to go up and
anyway,
look this up here. All right, go ahead. What were you saying?
They walk down on this carpet, kind of like the red carpet for award shows for TV for movies, right? They walk down, and each one of these announcers are commenting on what they're wearing, on who they're wearing. They even said it with Caitlin Clark, you know, and how much her outfit cost and who made it and blah, blah, blah. They talked about it all. And they even had those little, you know, like who looks hot in their dress emoji, you know, type stuff. The whole lead up to the actual draft was kind of sickening for me because they were just talking about what these women were wearing and who made what and how do they look. They were objectifying them by showing like who wore it best, blah blah blah. Kind of like these award shows.
Yeah, and that's when you fell in love with Cameron Brink.
That's not when.
And that's when Cameron Brink became your favorite player. Didn't know anything about her prior to this, Brian. Said that you didn't even know anything about her.
I didn't. But this piqued my interest when
they
need defense. And then, of course, they said defense and
Where is that in our text conversation that she's defensive and that she's your favorite player because of defense?
Is the number one defensive ranked player in college. So I'm like, oh, she should go to LA then. And then sure enough, she did. And,
sure you did. Uh-huh.
Yeah, all right. Well, you know, but to make Tony happy, as many women did, she looked amazing in the dress that she was wearing that night.
Okay, they all looked amazing that night. They all looked amazing. So, but the other thing I want to bring up is Oren has this thing for Angel Reese, and
what do you mean?
No, it's like she just does. She comes off as very disingenuous, as I think.
Yes, but
Oren was saying, and
yeah, that's one way to put it.
But anyway,
Side note, I was doing some research on the side, and it looks like the WNBA was televised as far back as 2005.
Oh, man.
ESPN.
The
draft? Okay. Yeah, NBA draft.
WNBA. Well, see, they never, right. Nobody paid attention to it until this
ESPN,
year.
ESPN, the Ocho, so, I think, probably back then. But
the Ocho.
I
love
it. I fucking love the Ocho. It was on the first Ocho.
Yeah, well, first round was shown on ESPN2 on 2005. I can't see find anything else for any years prior. But at least, like, it's been, at least the first couple rounds were at least shown on TV. Just the question is, like, it probably wasn't at the forefront, like, obviously this year's.
No, and I think that was because, isn't that when that started?
WNBA started in 1997, apparently.
Oh, damn.
97?
Holy shit, it's been around that long? Oh, my God. Who knew? Yeah. I had no clue.
See, wow. get off your righteous horse now, okay?
I'm not on my righteous horse. What I'm saying is the other thing that came out of this whole thing was Caitlin Clark, the number one draft pick in the WNBA, and it came out this week that she is going to be making for a four-year contract in Indiana. Granted, we know that she's going to be making killer deals on endorsements, right? We're already seeing that with Nike. We're already seeing that Gatorade. With Gatorade, Hy-Vee here in the Midwest. We're seeing these endorsement deals coming through, which is great, because let's compare her to the first draft pick of the NBA this year. The first draft pick of the NBA this year, I can't remember his name. He is going to be making around $10 million a year. $10 million a year. And we talked about that subsidy that the WNBA gets from the NBA. And how much was that? $15 million.
This is not a good argument. This is not a good comparison.
It needs to be talked about, because, again, now Caitlin Clark, number one draft pick for a four-year contract. Guess how much she's going to be making in the WNBA? A total of $338,056. That is her contract. Her contract for playing 4 years in the WNBA, she's getting $300,000. That breaks down to about 80 grand every year. That is disgusting. It's disparaging. It should not be the case. I understand that ticket sales have to come in. Go ahead, Brian. What's going to be your counterpoint to this?
I just feel like it's an unfair argument. But here's the thing. I agree with you. They should be paid a lot more, right? They are underpaid.
Yeah. At least a million.
But it's. Seriously. Let's face it.
You're right. The true villain
here, it's the way they advertise. If they got more people to these games, if they were televised more, if they had better marketing, you know, I think their pays would go up. I mean, they don't get, like, you up until this show, we all thought that this was the first televised NBA or WNBA draft, right? which, of course, that's kind of true. To pure Wayne fashion, you know, called us out with some actual facts here.
Scratch the surface, but I get it.
You know, like, and that's the problem, right? Just not enough.
So what is the W? Okay, so then let's bring this back.
You're making the point that it's because they're women.
My point, yes, it is because it's women. But on top of that, what I'm trying to say is that on top of this, the guru that is running the NBA right now, and they give a subsidy of $15 million to these people, they own a 50% stake in the WNBA. What have they done? They've had marketing geniuses throughout this whole fucking time. And why aren't they sharing the love with the WNBA? That's my problem. If they have the bulk of this, they don't play as many games as the NBA does. It is a misogynistic way of thinking. They want to talk about a good game. They want to give them these opportunities. But look at this. This lady, Caitlin Clark, can't even buy a home with making fucking $80,000 a year. So she's got to get these endorsements. She's got to get this cheddar somewhere else. Why isn't the NBA marketing the WNBA to a certain level?
That's a question I can't answer, but But, you know, like I've always said, no matter what sport, no matter what gender, make your money, right? If you can make more money, make your money, right?
And blood sport.
Yeah, just blood sport, right? But anyway, yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I wish they got paid more, but I understand that the advertisement around it is not the same as the NBA. The NBA is amazing. I mean, NBA players get paid more than hockey players. They absolutely, yeah, I mean, no like, shit. Like, the, you know a lot more. I mean, like the, you know, but I also know that the NBA and the NFL, they've probably got some of the best marketing teams I've ever seen. And
yeah. And again, who owns 50% of the WNBA?
You know, like, and I think that is
who owns, you who said owns it. 50% of the WNBA?
The NBA does.
The NBA.
You said it though.
Okay.
You know, I think if these women are going to start getting the money that they deserve, which is more than what they make now, they need to start throwing some more of that advertising dollars their way. I mean, because this should not have been the first time that we were interested in seeing a WNBA draft. This should not have been the time that we see Caitlin Clark posters all over Iowa, you know, and, you know, like... Mm-hmm. Like she is, she, I mean, I know that Tony's the mayor of that town, but Caitlin kind of put that town on the map now. And, you know, even so much that, you know, I'm hearing that they're retiring her jersey number, you know, yes. And that is the first time I've ever heard of a college team doing that. Now, I don't follow a lot of college sports, you know, admittedly. But for them to actually retire a jersey number for a college player, it seems kind of unusual for me. So that just tells you how much she truly meant to that team, to that town, and that sport. You know, but I think what needs to start happening is there needs to be just a whole makeover of their advertising team, their marketing team, their social media teams to get people in the... in the stands, people buying their merchandise, people buying their jerseys. You know, yeah, because let me tell you, I'll buy a Brink jersey. Absolutely. You know, so, you know.
Yeah, of course you will. All right, go ahead.
You know, Dan and I were just discussing this morning about, you know, this kind of the controversy about the pay. And I want to paraphrase kind of our conversations that Dana, when we're thinking like that's what they're being paid is what they're being is actually what the value is at this current market. Right. So it's, but it will take people like Caitlin, like all these players to hopefully bring this up. Unfortunately, they're going to be, because otherwise, yeah, to your point, we didn't know anything about the, you know, women's college basketball, let alone the NBA, WNBA prior to this. And so if there's now an interest, so that puts people in the seats, that puts people to watch it on TV, it's going to promote that part of it. Then now there's an invested interest. And hopefully that will begin the process of getting them better pay. I mean, you can kind of equate to like women's soccer and in the United States versus men's soccer. Women's soccer, you know, that's probably more popular than the men's soccer team, United States team, and they were at least they were able to get argue for equal pay because of that. So I think they have to kind of get they have to work for it, unfortunately, but hopefully they will get there.
And I agree with you too. I mean, being a football soccer fan myself now, I mean, that's its own uphill battle, I feel like, because soccer itself in the United States, men or women, is just not very popular, you know, as far as like our nation goes, right? You know, you have basketball, MLB, you have football, you have hockey, you know, and in some areas, I think soccer is actually more popular than hockey is, but it is... You know, so if you think the WNBA has an uphill battle, so do the soccer players as well, you know, men or women.
Yeah.
So, again, I just think that, to your point, if you're going to go the marketing route and the demand, and I understand that, what has the NBA done to kind of promote it? I mean, you've got the moneymaker, you've got the sausage maker there. You know that you can grind some things out and you come up with this magical thing that is called the NBA, and you see all of these superstars, all of this other stuff. Why weren't you at least having certain people kind of run the organization that way in tandem? I get where we're at, I understand, but don't you think that if we if they would have concentrated on this a little bit earlier and kind of made more of a thing about it, that they could be making at least $1 million for a contract. I mean, that's it. I don't understand. It seems to me like they're using them as a tax write-off of some point. That's what it kind of looks like on this whole like level. Yeah, like a charity thing. That's what it seems like to me. And it doesn't seem like they're running it like a business, or they didn't think to run it like a business and be that tenacious with it. So, again, there's the problem.
But
right?
I think they're taking steps now to really to help that. Like, yes, like they, because some of them were in the All-Star.
It took a player like Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, some of them.
And but you could have done this with Susie Swopes back in the day. That's a name that I know from 20 years ago.
What team did she play for, Tony? That's right.
I know. Right. So again, I understand that. That's why I keep saying Cheryl Swoops. That's what it is. Susie. I said the fucking wrong name.
Did you? I don't know. All I heard Swoops. Was Swoops.
Yes, I said Sherry. I said Sherry. It was Swoops. It was Cheryl Swoops. Whatever.
But anyway, like,
we know that name playing, for like, some reason.
Like these women are playing in like the 3-on-3 tournaments. The they made appearances at the NBA All-Star game. And now we're seeing a lot more. Caitlin Clark that we're seeing a lot of. But you know, this is going to pave the way for
and
a lot of.
You're now seeing this is the ugliness that's now happening. You are seeing that Caitlin Clark is now coming out as this person, and all of a sudden, people want to treat her a certain way. And it's just absolutely disgusting. I'm seeing the best in players and the best in people coming out this week. And I've also seen the worst in people coming out this week. And when I talk about the worst, I want to talk about this Indiana Star reporter that basically called her out. She basically put a little heart emoji to this guy. I can't remember the whole aspect of it. Wayne, you've got probably the story.
But I think he was doing the gesture to what that Caitlin does to her family in the stands. It's like the heart gesture with her hands.
Just making a heart with her fingers.
Press conference?
It was some kind of press conference, and he was. I don't know what the best way. He made it well. Like I was like, "Hey, well, do it to me. If you keep doing it to me, we'll be all good," or something to the fact. She was like, put her in a position of like going, "This is not for you. It was never meant for you. For her family." And he kind of made it about him. So I was like, "Going, dude, get off your high horse."
Indiana. It was gross and disgusting. Yeah, and then on top of that, Antonio Brown, who you know has always had kind of a. This rebel mentality and whatnot and misogynistic kind of mentality. He said nut job, came out with this mean tweet. I mean, out of fucking nowhere. I mean, and this just talks about like the challenges that these women face on a day-to-day basis. And then hearing comedians joke about it all the time, which I understand we can joke about whatever we need to. But again, this just was out of poor taste. He basically sends out this text or this tweet yesterday that says, "Hey, she looks like she keeps it hairy." What the fuck is that all about? I mean, that's fucking gross. It is absolutely gross and disgusting. And you know, and now he's getting like shit about it, and all these other people are coming out about it. But this is what women are facing when they start to get into this status. And yes, you have to have a thick skin, but at the same time, why don't you fucking celebrate this person for the achievements that they do that they've done and for what they are working towards in the future, instead of just trying to cut them down every single fucking aspect at every single turn? And it's just gross and disgusting. This is a time where we should be celebrating and rejoicing in the fact that we are getting more attention to the NBA and that we're getting more attention to these women that have been working hard for years and years and years. And here's somebody that just wants to fucking talk about whatever it is, keeping it hairy.
That's disgusting.
It's gross.
To your point, I mean, it's like, these women have worked their whole lives to get to the top level, right? And,
And to have it reduced down to is just gross.
But then, look at the source here. You know, like this person has been involved in a lot of controversies, in his time. So
true.
It's just, I mean, it's sad to your point that now that when somebody like this is in the spotlight more, people like this kind of come out of the woodwork. And it's just, it's uncalled for.
And is there any,
you know,
it's totally uncalled for. So I just thought that the whole cool thing about it was that Caitlin Clark kind of got the last laugh by it with the clip that she played on SNL. I'm going to play it here. I know probably Wayne is going to edit it somewhat, but I just wanted to kind of end on this like note before we call it before we move on to whatever the next topic is in the BL report. Just want to play this her appearance on SNL. If you haven't seen it, here you go. Hold on. Sorry.
You know, actually, while you're setting that up, I'm reading this article on Sportico, whatever. And it's talking about the actual marketing piece that Brian was kind of touching on. And it looks like they're actually, Adam Silver is actually kind of been talking about how to best market this for the TV rights. And actually packaging both the WNBA and the NBA as in some capacity together for these TV rights with
especially, oh, that'd be great.
So
are you talking about like a package?
Yeah, so like where like, oh, so if you have to get, yes, them both as a combination. If you want to have the NBA, you're gonna have to also have the WNBA, okay, as part of it. So I think that's, and that's ironically
more talks for with your money
talks with Disney / ESPN. So I mean, it's, I think this is actually,
that's great,
something that's been in the works. And Adam Silver, you know, Adam even Silver's though he looks creepy guy as AF, I think he's done really good things for the NBA comparative to, who was it? Stern before? What was his name?
Oh, yeah. Stern, yeah, was the worst.
Yeah. So Stern, I think,
piece of bleep.
So I think they're working that towards that direction, to your point, Brian.
Let me just mention too, just since this does fall in line on topic, and I'm going to bring it back to hockey, but specifically the PWHL, which is the Professional Women's Hockey League. I've been following, yeah, that all season long. Now, granted, I have yet to see a team or a team played on TV. I know it's out there, but it's like one of those obscure channels that's really hard to find. Most of the games,
El Ocho,
most of the games are televised after the fact on YouTube. You know, YouTube has a channel for it. If you go, but you know, like as a fan, one, I don't watch a lot of YouTube. You know, and I know I might be in the minority. I know Tony, you are big.
No, you're not in the minority. You're actually,
you know,
in the majority.
So, but especially I don't watch YouTube for like sports, games. Like I'll watch it for like clips or highlights, but actual games. Now I've been following the PWHL and I'm really impressed with the six teams that are playing so far, and looking forward to their playoffs and championships. But I don't know what they make dollar wise, but I do not see any advertising for them, so I can only imagine that it's not very good. And these women train hard, they play hard, they're entertaining to watch. If they were combined in a hockey package, kind of like what Wayne was just reading with the, I mean, yeah, like I would think that's just more bang for my buck. I love the sport, I love the league, yep. I want to see it grow. I want a team to come out to California right now. Currently California does not have a team. I would love to see a team in California, but it's just a sport that I wish it was bigger. Now, granted, I know that this is the inaugural season. This is, you know, the first ever season. So it's baby steps now, right? You know, the WNBA sounds, mm-hmm, like it's been going on since 1997. But this is the PWHL's inaugural season, which I'm kind of glad that I was there from day one. But I would love to see more advertising or some more TV coverage or things like that. And I know that in the NHL, some of those players participated in the All-Star game, which I thought was really neat. The skills competition, one of them was featured on last year's EA Sports, the NHL cover. So, and I know that you can play as some of those players on the game. So it's great in that aspect, but there's just, I see no billboards. Well, I see no advertisement. I see nothing. And like the WNBA, these women bust their ass. And I wish there was just more focus on that.
and maybe the NHL.
This is where This is where the knowledge of nothing saves the world again. You know, because like we've said in the past, we are the pulse of the universe. So of the universe, right? Yes. It's just we transcend our planet to the universe. And the topics that we talk about puts it on the powers that be's radar. You know, like, okay, these are issues that need to be addressed.
Yeah, so here we go. We're driving that point home. And do I want to play the Caitlin Clark thing? People could probably just look it up, right? So anyway, I just want to say that people, if you're looking at it, Caitlin Clark has had the last laugh. So
good
so
for
far.
Her.
Watch the SNL skit that she does with Michael Che on Weekend Update, and it's actually pretty funny. So I know we're running a little bit late on time. So you know what? I think, do you guys have anything else for the BL report?
No, or can we call the show, that's guys? It.
All right, guys. So, Oren, where can people find us on our social media platforms, my friend?
All right, everybody, here we go. Short on time. So, TikTok, Common Center, Uno, Twitter is at the Common One, Instagram at the Knowledge of Nothing, Facebook, the Knowledge of Nothing. If you want to listen to us anywhere you can get podcasts, you will find our lovely voices, or my lovely voice. I don't know about the other three. Anyway, and as always, everyone, thanks for letting us take you where you need to be each and every week. Info at theknowledgeofnothing.com is where you can, you know, send in some constructive criticism for us, ideas for the show. We will listen to them, and if we think they're good enough, we will use them, and we will use you. No, we won't use you. Anyway, hey, guys, if I could, leave the people with this. Everyone, just take this with you, sort of, you know. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Just, you know. Take that with you. Hopefully it'll make you at ease for your week. Yeah. And don't forget to watch Walker Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Pacific time on CW.
Woo-woo! Go Walker!
Yes. Woo-woo! Go Walker! All right. Hey, Brian, what would you like to say before we call it a show, my friend?
I'd just like to say thank you, everybody, for listening to our show. Thanks for the support. Please support us. Please support the WNBA, and please support the PWHL. And that's
amen.
Right.
Woo-woo! Yeah, well, we need horns for that right there.
All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next time.
All right. And as always, thank you for taking this journey into nothing. This has been the Knowledge of Nothing podcast. And as always, we will see you next time. Yeah, yeah. Hey, Oren, so the Knowledge of Nothing, I saw that you sent that tweet. I put on, I liked it when it came on because Cody was on and I was just like, oh. So if you look, it'll say the Knowledge of Nothing likes.
I saw that. No, that's why I saw it and I was like, oh.